It actually was a title, an earlier title that I used. And what was interesting is this week I saw on a church sign, Thanksgiving is not just a holiday, it's an attitude. And I'm going to ask you children 12, let me see, 8 to 13, if you can guess where I saw that sign. Maybe you know where I saw it. And then if you can't get it, we'll ask the adults if they know where I saw it. But as I thought of that, I did some research a while back, and it's interesting, and I double-checked the numbers again for this year, but I have no idea what turkey has to do with Thanksgiving. Can anybody tell me? Other than we think maybe the pilgrims had turkey, pilgrims and the Indians had turkeys on the first Thanksgiving that was celebrated. But according to the statistics in 2017, the estimate was between 45 and 48 million turkeys were cooked for Thanksgiving. That's a lot of birds. Now, just to take it a little further, the average turkey, let's just say the average turkey weighs 15 pounds. That's 720 million pounds of meat. If the average 18-wheeler carries 40 tons, who wants to guess how many tractor and trailers that would fill? James isn't here, so it's all fair today. You're all on the same level. 18 million. 18 million 18-wheelers. If the average 18-wheeler is 75 feet long, how many feet would that cover, end to end? Come on, some of you got to take a risk here. $1,350,000,000,000 feet. Who knows how far it is around the circumference of the earth? All right, now some of you school students should be knowing this one. It's 255,681 miles around the earth. So how many times would that wrap around the earth? I've blown all your minds. If I wouldn't have it written down, I'd have never gotten it. And I had to calculate it again because it didn't make it. It was like, there's no way, but it came out. Huh? It 10.26 times. That's a lot of turkeys. And I still want to know what it has to do with Thanksgiving. Good advertising. We'll just wait for the chicken farmers to come up with something to flip this to chickens. And that has nothing to do with my message, but I just thought it was interesting to figure that out again. But Thanksgiving is a day that we stop and reflect on the things we're thankful for. And often, and I think it's right, it's good, that we tend to reflect on our families. And those are good because those are things that we hold on to. But how often do we find ourselves like the children of Israel? We've looked ahead at something, we've anticipated something, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves ungrateful for that. And we're again unhappy and complaining about our circumstances. I'd like to ask you the question this morning, how powerful is your attitude? Does your attitude have the power to change other people's attitudes? And as we look at gratitude, as we look at gratitude as an attitude, I'd like to just, a couple things that I'd like to put out here for you to think about as we read in the scriptures. And David, and we'll be using David a lot this morning for the scripture, but gratitude has been defined as an emotion, an attitude, a moral virtue, a habit, a personality trait, and sometimes even as a coping response. Some people may use gratitude as a way to cope with things that aren't so pleasant to cope with. There was a study done some time ago where these three things were found to be a part of changing people's attitudes and how gratitude can make a difference. And these are just the three main points of it. Experimentally, there does appear to exist benefits to regularly focusing on one's blessings. In one study, it was found that a weekly benefit listing was associated with more positive and optimistic appraisals of one's life, time spent exercising, and fewer reported physical symptoms. In another study, people led to focus on their blessings were also more likely to report having helped someone with a personal problem or offered emotional support to another. It suggested to the researchers that gratitude motivated people to develop positive social relationships. So your attitude can affect and will affect and change other people's attitudes. A couple things that I'd like to look at. Gratitude is an attitude of the soul. To be genuine, it has to come from within. It has to be something that I cultivate. It's not something that can be forced. It's voluntary, optional, and indicative of a person's true nature. Now, how many of you, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or respond to this, but how many of you find being grateful easy? I don't. Not usually. I tend to focus too much on the things I don't have or the things I wish I had. And it's not natural for me. And I think that's fairly normal. I'm reading a book right now. The title of the book is Everybody's Normal Until You Learn to Know Them. And then you find out that nobody's normal. It's true. None of us are normal. I mean, if we are, we're in trouble. Really. But being grateful is something that I need to exercise. I have to cultivate it. Gratitude lifts life to a new level. Those who learn to appreciate the kindness, blessings and health that they do have come to experience a more positive lifestyle than others. Those who live positively enjoy life more than those who live negatively. I find that my attitude affects my family. It affects all those around me. If I have a negative attitude, the people that I associate with are going to tend to have the same attitude. Or if I place myself in a group of people who have a negative attitude, I tend to have the same. And so gratitude is one of those things that we can learn to change. David in Psalms 100 and 103 gives a couple examples of that. David, we look at the writings of David, and there are a lot of things that David did to express his gratitude to God. In Psalm 100, verse 2, he says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song." And then in verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." And I'm going to read the whole chapter of Psalm 103. And just, again, just to soak this into our minds. If you want to turn to that, if you don't, that's fine. You can just listen. "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, and those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. You know, we know that David had his share of problems. He had his share of times when he didn't trust God, when he stepped outside of God's will, and that he found himself in a place that he knew that he needed to come back. And yet David understood that everything that he did, everything that he had, was because of God. There was nothing that he could even do without God's help. In Psalm, I think it was either Psalm 103 or 107, was sung at the dedication of the Second Temple in 516, and its focus is on the Lord's redemption of the children of Israel from captivity in Babylon. And they were feeling pretty good about this, but David understood that there was a time going to come when they were no longer going to be grateful for their release from captivity. Let's turn to Psalm 107, verses 1 through 16. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this: those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to their Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars and iron. Attitude of gratitude affects those around us. We all have someone who has had a positive impact on our lives. And you know, it's easier to recall the bad things that have been done or said to us than it is the good things. But it's better to remember the good things than the bad things. Because every person that is a part of my life has made a contribution to it. Some are good and some are not good. And I have to decide how to sort through that. And sometimes it takes more than what I have the power to do to work through that. My friends are an encouragement to me. My critics make me a better person. So a person that maybe has had a negative influence on me is not necessarily a bad or wrong influence, but it can be an influence to change my direction because maybe there is something that person sees that needs correction. And so I need to be grateful for them. All of us live in one of four modes. We're either getting or otherwise always taking or receiving from others. Giving, always doing something for others, never letting anyone help us. Or graciously giving when able, yet getting help when needed. Or being alone and having no love or fellowship with others. And I think all four of those have some negatives to them. But all four of them can have some positives. However, number one and number four are ones that I really don't think a Christian should be a part of. The second point that David brings out here is the attitude of great gratitude to God. In verses 5 through 9, David makes the point that God cares for our physical needs. Verses 10 and 14, he says that God cares for our emotional needs. In verse 13, God comforts us in times of distress. Verse 14, God frees us from bondage. And then in verse 16, he calls for thanksgiving to God for what he has done. School children, what are five things that we take for granted every day? Food? Anything else? There's five.
Electric.
Water. Water. Okay. 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 Those are all good, but there's five that are very important to your body. And those are part of it. Those all fit into there. That's why I kind of let that go.
Peace.
Peace? Yep, that's one. How about the five senses? What are they?
Taste.
Taste, touch, smell, hearing. There you go. That's an important one right now, isn't it? We had smell. There's one more. What was it?
Sight.
That's right. Sight, touch, taste, smell, and hearing. I had to keep count because I had them in a different order. But they're all, and every one of those things that you gave before that affected that. But those five senses are things that we take for granted every day. And without air, without breath, none of those would even be possible. Gratitude is a choice. It doesn't just happen. Gratitude is a commandment. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It's a conscious act. It's a decision that I need to make. It's compelling. It brings others into my general area because gratitude draws people to me. And when I am grateful for the people that God puts in my life, there's nothing more motivating than my gratitude to someone else. How about Dad, when you get up from the meal, when you say thank you for the meal, what does that do for your children? It does make a difference. We all realize that what God has done for us, when we realize all God has done for us, we will want to express our thanksgiving to Him and to those around us for what they contribute to us. Brian, do you have a song? I'm running. I changed it up on you this morning. That's fine. That's fine. What was the song number? 67 in the Faith and Praise. And you can stand it. I'm going to close. Actually, we're going to close it different this morning. I'm going to close with the scripture and the prayer along with that. So if you can stand. The scripture that I'm going to close with is Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father, God the Father, through Him. Father, this morning, we again are just grateful for the presence that You have manifested to us. We're thankful for each other. Father, this morning, we're grateful that You've given us each other to be able to work together, to be able to worship together, to be able to encourage each other. And sometimes, Father, even sometimes to be critical, because those are things that we sometimes need to draw us closer to You. And as we go into this next year, Father, help us to be more open to being grateful. Be more grateful to each other and more grateful to those around us, because we know that that is what You have called us to be. Help us not to look out into the things that we wish were or don't have, but help us to understand that You have given us so much. Thank You this morning for each one that's here. Pray for those that are not here for whatever reason this morning. We just pray that You would bless them wherever they are as well. And that You would protect them. There are those on the road today. We ask that You would care for them as well. Thank You for all You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me throw another curveball.